This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to dig into calling them communists. Someone needs some help, apparently, with his garbage disposal. Project 2025. Somebody's running for office. There's all kinds of stuff going on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to play something from Tim Walz first before we get back to the emails. Walz said this.
You go off to Yale, you get a philosophy major, you write a best-selling book, trash the very people you grew up with. Just don't come back to Erie and tell us how to run our lives.
That was Tim Walz blasting away at J.D. Vance for making it out of his rough upbringing, going to Yale, writing this book that J.D. Vance wrote. And it just, as I heard him say it, it just reminded me how much all Democrat politics now, it's all grievance politics, all of it, every bit of it. It's all lobster in the bucket, hate the rich guy, hate the guy who has the house you want, the job you want, the this you want, the that you want. It's all based on envy, and it's really, really poisonous. It's really bad. It's part of the reason. Part of the reason Democrats can get worse and worse, meaning meaner and meaner as they get older, is because the longer you embrace poison like jealousy, like envy, the longer you let that stuff fester inside of you, it's poison for the mind. It really is. It's like taking drugs for an extended period of time. Uncle Jesse, I live in the Houston area. I need your help. Something has my garbage disposal locked up. I didn't realize you were being mean. My hand doesn't fit through the sink. I figured you could get both your hands in there to unclog it for me. I hate you. Also, I believe you replaced Michael, but I haven't heard his or her name yet. Is there a reason for that? Michael's gone. It's just me and Chris right now. We have not replaced Michael yet. I believe we have settled on somebody. It's a him, and I don't hire hers, so there ain't going to be no her here in the office. This is where dudes work. I don't work around hers. Dear Jesse, I listen to a lot of political shows, and no one but you call the Democrats communists. Why is that? Thank you for calling them out for what they are. His name is Steven. Well, I don't know why other people do what they do or don't do what they don't do, but I know that they are communists. They are. This is all cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism. I don't know why I said that weird. This is all cultural Marxism. This is all envy. It's all warfare between the aggrieved. It's the religion of the malcontent. Find the people who are miserable, who hate their lives, and use their bitterness to help you destroy and help you gain power. It's all Democrat politics is. It's despicable. It's awful. And I wish more did it. But calling them communists is something that is getting into the mainstream. Trump is doing this now, and that's huge because Trump is such an influential voice on the right. Trump is calling Kamala Comrade Kamala to the point they're now printing articles. I saw an article out today. The libs are whining about it. That's wrong. You can't call someone a communist. You shouldn't do that. Again, that's how you know you should do that. Whatever bothers them, that's what you should do, because everything they do is based on deception. They're trying to hide who they are, what they want. They're trying to hide all these things. So expose them. Dear History Professor Jesse, help. My hubby tells me that if we make over $125,000 a year, then Project 2025 will stop his income from veterans' disability. He tells me to vote for Biden because he can read the Project 2025. Shall I read the thing? Is this a real thing? Please advise. You can read Project 2025. Go ahead. Her name's Ann. Your husband is completely wrong. Project 2025 is not a legislative agenda that's about to be enacted by anybody. Trump has rejected it. Now, I like Project 2025. I like everything I've seen. I think it's really, really solid. I don't agree with everything in it, but boy, if we had that, we'd be much better off. But Project 2025 is not as much a policy agenda as it is a database where people on the right can apply to get those government jobs. So as we run the communists out of the government, we have a database of people to replace them with. That's the main point of Project 2025. It's putting decent people in the government. And that has plagued us. It's really what plagued Donald Trump's first 4 years. He couldn't ever hire somebody decent. It was very, very rare. The Sarah Huckabees were very rare. He had a long list of losers who went through there and really kneecapped his agenda and his presidency. Project 2025, though, has been rejected outright by Trump and his people. So this is not something your husband has to worry about at all, and they're certainly not going to cut his veterans' disability. No. Feel free to read it yourself, but it's not something that's going to happen. Jesse, I have a sinking feeling about this election. I don't believe there's a way Trump's going to win. We know about the 2,000 mules, the voting machines. He's going off on all this stuff. Am I being too pessimistic? He goes through a long list of things of why we can't win. Am I being too pessimistic? His name is Scott. No, you're not being too pessimistic, but I believe we can win. If you feel like we can't, like the country's too far gone, you might be right. I'm not trying to try to sugarcoat anything for you. We might be too far gone. And if this country elects this brain dead moron, who doesn't even state her policy positions, if the country can be gaslit on this level where you can run a campaign based on joy with no policy positions and you can win, if we're that far gone, well, then nationally, as far as the 50-state experiment goes, we probably are gone. We probably are. We've had this talk before about it depends on what you put your hope in. It's not that I am without hope or not that I am too hopeful. I just have my hope in different things than a lot of people do. I've been very frank with you on this. I am not hopeful that the 50-state experiment will continue on. I am not. I look at the things where we're at right now, not only with our currency, with our divided population, with how many immigrants we've allowed to pour into the country, water down and shatter the culture. And what I see a box checking list of everything a fading empire would be doing. Historically, we are doing everything fading empires have done. I am not hopeful in the 50-state experiment. If it works out, great. That's what I'm going to try for. It's what you're going to try for. I'm not hopeful on that. I am, however, very, very, very hopeful that you and I, and more importantly, our children can have a life that looks a lot like the life we've always known because of our state system in this country. We have a state system that is unique. And we have gun ownership at a level that is unique. Americans own 46% of the guns on the planet. That matters because as long as that's the case, the communists can never fully take over here and do what they want. We have guns and we have a state system where if we fortify our states properly, our states, many of them, are wealthy enough and powerful enough to be countries on their own. Did you know that Texas's economy is the size of Russia's economy? Did you know that? That's one state. Now, I realize it's a big, wealthy state like Texas, but that's one state. We talk about Russia like they're this big superpower. And I guess given their nuclear stockpile, they are a superpower. One state matches Russia's economy. If we can get to red areas and win local elections and focus on fortifying the areas we can fortify. Your children and their children and their children after them, no matter what happens, whether it's a national divorce or, God forbid, something worse, no matter what happens, your children can live, work, and worship in a place where they can be reasonably free, where they can worship freely, where they can speak freely, where they can own guns, drive cars. These things, this freedom thing, doesn't have to go away if the 50-state United States of America experiment comes apart on us. It doesn't have to go away. We are in for some rocky times no matter what. When you've done it to yourself what we've done to ourselves, there's no easy way out of this. We've got to come down off of drugs. The drugs of spending, the drugs of so many things, and coming down off of drugs. You ever talk to an addict who's gone through rehab and come down off of drugs? It doesn't sound very fun. I've never had to go through that, but it doesn't sound very fun at all. Well, that's where we're at as a country. We have pain coming, yeah. But if we fight now, we can win. Just depends on where you put your hope. Dear Man Boob Lumberyard. Oh, he's talking about the nipple splinter. On your Twitter handle, your name is at Jesse Kelly DC. What does the DC stand for? When I was running for Congress, that's when they started my social media accounts. And the Jesse Kelly was taken, probably still is taken, by some poor sap named Jesse Kelly. So they decided, because I was running to be in Congress, to throw a DC on the end of it. It's for Washington, DC, but it didn't work out anyway. On a serious note, why is your show podcast from this past Juneteenth missing from Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Spotify? Was it so offensive it was blocked? Hey, Chris, why is our Juneteenth show not on there? Did I say something terrible that day? I probably did. I don't know. I don't know. We can actually look into that. Unless I was gone, which I don't know. I don't know why. We were here. We were here and we did a show. Okay, so we were here and we did a show. I don't know. I probably said something awful. That's pretty much me. We do save babies here on the show, though. You save babies. You and preborn. I actually have a chance next week, 2 weeks from now, I get a chance to sit down with preborn. You know what the CEO of preborn tells me? He tells me that he's not the CEO of preborn, that Jesus is. You want to talk about a purpose-driven organization? They are out there saving lives, saving the lives of unborn babies by giving the gift of ultrasound for free to a woman who's about to kill her baby. It costs $28 to give that ultrasound. This is tax deductible. You can give them 28 grand. It's still tax deductible. Go save a life or a bunch of them tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. What great questions. And remember, you still have time to email them in. Even if we miss them this week, we might catch them next week. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I have to go to an event after work tonight, and I was just complaining to Jewish producer Chris about it, and he wasn't very sympathetic, so now I'm going to complain to you. It's a political event. It's something that I'm doing just because it's the right thing to do. It's not some paid speech or something like that. I'll expand more on what it is next week. I don't want to be too forward about that now, but it's a political event, and the food is going to be awful, and everybody's going to talk to me the whole time. And I was just going over this with Chris. I think I already have a plan. My plan is, it's a 3-hour event. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do an hour and a half, and then I'm going to give myself a people intermission, and I'm going to excuse myself. What, Chris? And I'm going to go get some food. I'm going to take a half hour, 45 minutes, and I'm just going to sit down by myself and eat something. What, Chris? I ruined it. Now they'll know what I'm doing. Yeah, I didn't really consider before I just talked about that just now that a lot of them might be listening. In fact, they might already be on the way to the event. Look, if you're listening and you're going to the event with me, I want you to know that you can talk to me. That's fine. But if I take a phone call, it's because I don't want to talk to you anymore. That's a fake phone call. That's one. And two, when you see me walking out the door, I'm going to get food because I don't want to talk to you anymore. So don't chase me down. I'll be back once I recharge the social batteries. This is the people who are these extroverts. Like, my wife does not understand this at all because she gets energized from being around people, from being in crowds. The longer she's there, the longer she wants to stay. And I can be having a great time, but there is just a time limit. My battery, my social battery, is going down, down, down the second I get in. Now, all that said, if I happen to see any one of you tonight, and there's a chance I might, and you see me sitting down by myself having some food, please come up and say hi. I'm just kidding. You can come over and say hello. Make it quick. Don't sit and park it there. Just come say hello and then let me finish my nachos. Jesse, what are your thoughts and opinions on General MacArthur? I have always thought of him as a great general and leader, but I've read books on World War II and the Korean War, and I've started to have my doubts. What say you? P.S. Did you ever try cinnamon rolls and chili? No, I never did do the cinnamon rolls and chili, but I would do cinnamon rolls and chili. Don't shake your head, Chris. Two, I cannot stand Douglas MacArthur. Cannot stand him. Opinions vary, but this is my rule for generals. It always has been my rule for generals. Not saying it has to be your rule, but it is my rule. If they're men, I'm not talking about the officers whose career they make. If the men themselves, the guys on the ground, if they dislike him, I dislike him. Because the men always know. They always know. They had derogatory nicknames for Douglas MacArthur. I don't care what history books you read that love him or hate him. It's a fact. His men called him Dugout Doug because he was never with them while they were starving. And during the Korean War, when our guys were freezing and dying, Douglas MacArthur, who was in charge of that war, didn't sleep a single night in Korea. Didn't spend a night there. His men resented that. His men resented him. He may have been brilliant. Everyone calls him brilliant. He was brilliant, had a brilliant mind. So I just have to accept the history books and accept that I guess he was brilliant on some level. I'm not denying his intelligence at all, but that is my rule for generals. If their men hate them, I automatically assume he's bad. Well, look, when we were in the Marines, I was a nobody. I was a four-year grunt Marine. You go from being a private to a private first class, Lance Corporal and Corporal. You end up, so I was a very low-level positions. I realized corporals and NCOs run the Marine Corps, but still, these are not. I'm not working with generals and colonels. I'm not working with these guys. And even then, we knew when we had a good battalion commander or a bad battalion commander. We knew. The men always knew. We knew when we had a good company commander and a bad company commander. The word goes out. This guy's capable. This guy cares. This guy sucks. This guy's selfish. This guy's an idiot. The guys on the ground know. So no matter what our opinions are, yours or mine on MacArthur, the opinions of his men were, that guy sucks. Tells me everything I need to know. Jesse, do you suspect there will be riots with either Trump or a Harris victory? Oh my gosh. If Trump wins, I am hopeful he will, but if Trump wins, there are going to be some terrible riots in the blue areas. Remember, it's not a pendulum. The communist control of blue areas has only gone up and up and up and up and up. And in these blue areas, law enforcement has been completely neutered. The DAs, they're all Soros DAs now who let the criminals go. What, the FBI is worse than it's ever been. DOJ can't be trusted. CIA can't be trusted. These organizations are all worse now than they were before. They're going to allow anything and everything to oppose Donald Trump if Donald Trump gets elected again. But they already tried to throw him in prison. They tried to kill him. What do you think they're going to allow to happen if the guy gets elected president of the United States of America? Yeah, this is bad. You know what else is bad? The dollar. You know what nations are doing right now? Do you know what major finance companies like the BlackRocks of the world, you know what they're doing? Buying up hard assets, buying up real estate, residential real estate as fast as they can. Why do you think that is? Why would you be putting so much real estate on your books right now? Why is this something that countries do, that finance giants do? Because in rocky economic times, you can go read about the Great Depression, whatever. Hard assets are the thing that lasts and gets you through it. This stock here may come or go. A home always has value. Market may go up, market may go down, but because it's a tangible, hard asset, the value's always there. Done-for-you real estate will start you investing in real estate. Normal people. This is for normal people to begin. Done For You Real Estate handles everything too. They'll get you the property, the financing. They handle the rental process. They do it all. Find out what they can do. DoneForYouJesse.com. DoneForYouJesse.com. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If you miss any part of the show or anything this week, go download a podcast. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I'll be back on Monday for Medal of Honor Monday. Now, let's do as many of these as we can. Master Splinter. It's not nice. In my state, Nebraska, people were calling into talk radio shows claiming to be conservatives and saying they absolutely love the economy and the administration, saying things like, if you live within your means, the economy is great. It seems obvious to me these are paid operatives from the Democrat Party. Have you noticed that in other areas? Are you hearing similar tactics? I love the show. I wish Chris didn't give you such a hard time. Me too. So I have seen this. I have heard it. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's brilliant. Shady? Yeah. Yeah, it's shady. It's pretty brilliant because people want to be on a winning team. Momentum, it matters. They get caught up in the emotions of the election. And look, is it going to work on a bunch of people? Of course not, because people understand grocery prices are too high. They can see their wallet. But will it work on some? Yep. And remember how close presidential elections are. It's bonkers. You have this huge country, 300 million people, and you'll have a presidential election that really breaks down to 50,000 votes. It's just not that many votes. A little shade here, a little shade there, and either you're the president or you're going to jail, especially with the Trump revelation today. I haven't touched on it just because it became a non-story, but judge ruled earlier today that Trump's sentencing is going to be after the election, November 26th. So you want to talk about stakes. Think about this for Trump. He wins or he very likely goes to jail. And that's before Jack Smith gets his claws into him. Trump has to win this election. Dear fellow white trash, I just wanted you to know that I did a stupid thing and I listened to you. I got involved. Next thing you know, I'm running for city council in my small town in Colorado. It's a long story, but it has been quite a journey. Any advice? Well, well done, sir. Well done. One, I am very, very proud of you. Everyone who gets involved like this, this is how we save our country. That's freaking awesome. Any advice? Okay, first, make sure you are yourself. And I say that, everyone says that, but this is what I mean. When you do politics, whether you're running for office or, honestly, this applies a lot to radio and TV, it's very tempting to try to copy what someone else does, how someone else talks, their positions on things, but people can sniff out a phony from a mile away. Even the worst haters of this show and people who get offended by everything I say, they will email in and say, at least I can tell you're being honest. You understand who I am. I don't sugarcoat it for you. When you're running for office, you are going to talk to people, even if it's city council. It doesn't sound big, but it's big. You're going to be at events. There'll be smaller events, 15, 20-person events. You're going to go give speeches at the local county GOP meeting. You are going to speak to rooms full of people. Don't worry that you don't give speeches like Ronald Reagan, all right? You're just starting out. Get up and be authentic. If you're nervous, tell them you're nervous. If you are passionate about taxes, speak about taxes. If you're passionate about what's going on in the schools, focus on that. Just be authentic. That's what I'm telling you. Also, don't be afraid to ask people for money. This was what I struggled with a lot when I was running for Congress. I hate asking people for anything, really. That's a Kelly thing. Kellys don't ask for help. Oh, I got this. It's just who we are. And I really don't like feeling like a mooch. I hate mooches, and I never wanted to be thought of as a mooch. So I struggled in the beginning with asking people for money. But you need money. To run for office, you have to have money. You need money to pay for the mailers. You need money to pay for this and money to pay for that. Politicians do need money. Well, the campaigns themselves need money. Learn to be comfortable with that. And learn to ask boldly when you ask. If you ask people for money when you're running for office, and it sounds like this, so if, I don't know, if you can give just $5, I certainly don't want to ask for too much, but if you could give something, that's fine, but if you can't give anything, that's fine too. You're not going to raise any money like that. You can't do that. You have got to get comfortable standing up in front of a room and telling people, I need money. I have to send mailers out. The mailers are going to cost me, I'm just making up a number here, the mailers are going to cost the campaign $10,000, and I need to raise $10,000. So if you can write me a $500 check tonight, whatever the limits are to your campaign, make sure you stay within the law. But if you can write me a $500 check tonight, I need freaking $500. I need it. And people who want something better for their community, they are willing to give to a campaign of someone who they think will make it better. You're not mooching it. You're not pocketing the cash. You're not taking it to Red Lobster, unless you're lucky. You're using it for your campaign. So ask for money boldly. Hey, Jesse, a coworker and I have a bet on whether Trump will enact or exact revenge on Fannie Willis, Alvin Bragg, and Judge Mershon by forcing them to step down. I don't think it will happen, but my coworker does. What do you think? Your name is John. Trump doesn't have the authority to do this. He doesn't have any authority over Alvin Bragg. He doesn't have any authority over Fannie Willis. He doesn't have any authority over Judge Mershon in New York. This is something that norms can get caught up in this a lot. They don't understand power, different jurisdictions. They don't understand the limits of power. We don't have a king here. We don't have a dictator. The president can't fire a district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, who he doesn't like. That and the fact Trump is sadly not a very vengeful person anyway, which is a big reason why he's in the pickle he's in. Trump wants to get along with these people. He's always wanted to get along with these people. He does. He wants to be, even through with everything he's gone through, he does want to be accepted. He wants a nice article in the New York Times. He does. That's why he still meets with Maggie Haberman when all she does is blast away at him. He wants to. Trump is not the sword of God vengeful type. Now, the sword of God vengeful type is coming. They're going to watch how they've chewed Trump up. And, this, and you know, it's a sword of God type is coming. But yeah, go ahead, Chris. Go ahead and play. This is after Trump got elected. Hillary Clinton, the criminal. Well, this is what he said.
You know, I'll tell you, there is something that I wanted to say, because I was very honored, very, very honored when I heard that President Bill Clinton and Secretary Hillary Clinton was coming today. And I think it's appropriate to say, and I'd like you to stand up. And honestly, there's nothing more I can say, because I have a lot of respect for those two people. So thank you all for being here.
That's after he campaigned for office on Lock Her Up. He's not the sword of God type, one and two. He doesn't have the authority to exact revenge on these. So that's just what it is. Jarhead, what are the odds Hochul knew the lady was a communist? He's talking about that communist Chinese spy right next to Hochul. I don't know that Hochul knew she was a spy, but there's a reason Democrats keep getting caught with Chinese spies. And I will, you know, we'll break this down in just a moment. Before we break that down, speaking of funding communists, who do you pay every month for your cell phone? Do you make an automatic payment every month to AT&T or T-Mobile or Verizon? These companies, they hate us. They hate us. They take our money and they use it. Go look up whoever your cell phone provider is. Go look up the name of that company in Pride Month. And everything you see there, you funded. Think about that. I've funded it too. I've had Verizon. My first one was AT&T, and the one I just switched from with T-Mobile. So I've done it. I'm not blaming you. Switch to Pure Talk. Pure Talk loves this country. Pure Talk's cause is veterans, getting veterans back on their feet. Same 5G network. You don't sacrifice coverage. And right now, when you switch, you can save an extra 50% off your first month. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, before we get to the emails I didn't get to, I want to break down this question. That Chinese spy was just caught. The, you know, former Kathy Hochul employee found out to be her and her husband a Chinese spy. And this keeps happening to Democrats. Dianne Feinstein's chauffeur, Chinese spy. Eric Swalwell's side piece, Chinese spy. Just Chinese spy after Chinese spy. Why does it keep happening to Democrats? It does happen to Republicans too, but it's so much more prevalent on the left. Because the guy asked, did Hochul knew? Well, I'll put it to you this way. If I'm starting a daycare, right? Jesse's daycare. And I'm looking for people to raise the kids. Well, raise the kids, guide the kids, teach the kids, watch the kids. And I go down to the local county jail. And that's where I start looking for employees to work in my daycare. If I grab one guy, is that a guarantee he's going to be a bad guy who steals from the daycare or hurts the kids? Of course not. Of course not. Might just be a guy who got rung up for something. He's okay turning his life around. Of course not. But if I keep going down to the local county jail to grab new employees for my daycare, is it a guarantee that eventually I'm going to get a bad guy working in Jesse's daycare? Of course. It's a guarantee. You mine enough prisoners, you're going to end up with a scumbag. That's how it is. Why do Chinese spies keep finding their way into Democrat offices? Because when you're a Democrat, congressman, councilman, whoever you are, state legislature, doesn't matter. When you're a Democrat, the staffers you choose from, they will all be dirty commies, fresh out of dirty commie universities, and China has heavy influence there. So if you continue to grab fresh commies from a fresh commie university, the law of averages simply state at some point in time, you're going to grab an actual employee of the Communist Chinese Party. It's the way it works. Eventually, you're going to have a subversive in your office. And the people who you need to vet for that, how hard are they going to vet for that? Democrats prefer communism to capitalism. That's not just me saying that on the radio. Go look at the recent poll numbers where they're asking, especially young Democrats, which they prefer. They do not prefer freedom. They don't prefer America. So you're going to have someone who is sympathies for communism, and that's the person you're banking on to vet out the Chinese communist. It doesn't work that way. You just expose yourself. You're an easy mark to communist Chinese spying when you're an American Democrat. So let that be a lesson to you if you're running for office, something you need to watch out for. Make sure your mind is working well. That's why you need a chalk male vitality stack. Or a female vitality stack. You want to be able to spot a Chi-Com from across the room? Well, you can't do that if you're low T. Your mind isn't even working right. But you could go get yourself some natural herbal supplements from Chalk. I've taken a male vitality stack for 3 years now. I'm not even the same person anymore. It is so incredible, the difference in your life, your energy levels. My mind works faster than my mouth does sometimes, as you can probably tell. Go get a subscription because you save a bunch of money on subscriptions. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Chok.com, promo code Jesse.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Dear Jesse Leathers, do you consider yourself from Ohio or Montana? Which state tugs at your heartstrings the most? While in Montana, did your family ever make it to Glacier? Best rucks ever there. His name is Rick. Okay, so that's a very hard question to answer because for me personally, my heart tugs more for Montana. We moved to Montana when I was 10, but on the family side of it, not only most of my family, I'm talking about extended family, but most of my wife's family, they're all still in Ohio. So when there's a family reunion, a family get together, a funeral, if someone dies, it's always Ohio. So, oh man, I don't even know how to answer that. I really identify with both of them a lot. To answer your question about Glacier, yes, we've gone to Glacier National Park. Every American should go to Glacier National Park whenever you get a chance. They have huckleberries. Chris, have you ever had a huckleberry? They're way better than blueberries. I'll just put it that way. It looks like a blueberry. They're amazing. Glacier National Park is famous for huckleberries. And everywhere you go, there will be huckleberry things. Sometimes that means it's just huckleberries. Sometimes it's chocolate-covered huckleberries. Sometimes... if you go in a little diner up there, a little greasy spoon, you can get a cheeseburger and a huckleberry milkshake. Oh my gosh. Or huckleberry pie. Anyway, Glacier is beautiful. It can be dangerous, so just make sure you're taking the proper bear precautions. Someone gets eaten by a grizzly bear every single year up there. Usually it's comes because they were doing something dumb, but it's wonderful. What's that, Chris? What caliber for a grizzly bear? Well, not a 9mm. Let me be clear. If you're in grizzly country, I'll just tell you what we did in Montana. It really needs to be at least a 357 Magnum, preferably a 44 Magnum. We're not talking about a self-defense carry weapon here. You need a heavy caliber. And a lot of people won't carry this, so I don't bring it up. But like my old man, my folks on their ranch, when they're out there messing with fences and pounding fence posts and stuff like that, because they have bears out there, a shotgun with a slug is really best. A lot of guys, they'll carry a shotgun, and one round will be a slug, and the next round will be buckshot, and the next round will be a slug. You really, I would want a shotgun with a slug if I had a charging grizzly bear. But it's hard to get people when they're visiting Glacier and hiking to carry around a shotgun. No one wants to carry a friggin' shotgun around. It's heavy. So 44 Magnum, at least a 357 Magnum. This is from me, everyday carry 9mm Jesse. A grizzly bear will laugh at your 9mm if he's charging you to eat you. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Those animals are amazing, amazing. You know, Lewis and Clark, have you ever read any of the Stephen Ambrose, Lewis and Clark stuff? What's that book called? I think it's called Undaunted Courage, if I remember right. Stephen Ambrose, God rest his soul, was a wonderful American historian. And he wrote an amazing book on Lewis and Clark. If you want to get some updates on their expedition, well, updates, I guess the expedition's over if you want to learn about their expedition. But Lewis and Clark, they wrote about the first time they encountered grizzly bears. They'd known black bears because they were from eastern the United States, but they had never seen grizzly bears. And they were just floored that you could just fire 7-8 rounds into this thing and it would just keep coming. They thought they were monsters. You. Put a smile on your face and enjoy your weekend. We'll be back to do it again on Monday. Medal of Honor Monday. That's all.